77-63 in Wisconsin.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, we've got a dust-up right now. Juwan Howard and Greg Gard, we're going nose-to-nose.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yo, Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrub.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I didn't like the timeout being called.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee Dick Vermeil. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got our friend Jay Billis about to join us right here on the program. Hour one, we talked to Albert Breer about everything going on in the NFL with a potential boycott of the combine coming, and then the quarterback carousel just days away from spinning potentially off its axis or staying right where it is if Aaron Rodgers makes a decision to stay. That would be quite something, and see what happens on that front. Dick Vermeil, Pro Football Hall of Famer, is going to be joining us in hour number three of the program, but we join right now with this terrestrial radio audience along with Sirius XM Channel 85, and then everyone watching us on NBC Sports on Peacock. Going to the phone line right now on the Mercedes-Benz van phone line is our friend, none other than Jay Billis of the Worldwide Leader in Sports. How are you, Jay? Did we miss him right there?
No, he's there. He's on.
You there, Jay?
Okay, so you and I are going to have to throw down.
There we go. Yes, we are. There we go. Your phone was cutting in and out, but it came in just at the right time for your punchline or your slap line. Should we call it a slap line? What should we call it?
Slapstick comedy.
Yeah, an open hand slap line.
Okay. So I'll give you the floor. I saw your tweets and your Instagram on it, but I give you the floor on what happened at the end of Wisconsin yesterday and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it was disappointing. You know, one, to see coaches who are supposed to be the quote-unquote adults in the room to act that way, and I don't let anyone off the hook. I mean, I think there are differing levels of culpability for the incident, but no one is blameless in it. And it went beyond the incident itself, Rich. I think it was after there had been a cooling off period and the two coaches went in their press conference, neither one of them expressed any sort of regret that the incident happened at all. And I didn't think that was the right way to handle it. And so I was disappointed. You know that there's going to be some sanctions from it, that the league and the schools are going to break the tape down like it's the Zapruder film. But you don't want to overreact either. You know, you hear some people calling for Juwan Howard's firing. Other people are talking about suspensions. The one thing about a suspension is it hurts the players more than anything. And if it's going to be long-term, so hopefully cooler heads will prevail afterwards. But I just don't think it's that difficult, whether you liked whether the coach pressed or whether the coach called a timeout, the other coach. And I get a little tired of people rationalizing behavior based upon, well, I'm a competitor. We're competitors. The competition was over. And if you didn't bring the fight in the competition, you know, the next thing was the handshake line. Behave yourself. And I thought those two coaches acted like babies, frankly, and now they're gonna have to stand in the corner for a little while.
So then, what do you ascribe then to Greg Gard in Wisconsin of what he did awry here, Jay? There are many, including people in this room, who think he has no culpability in this. So, what do you have for me on that front?
I don't believe that there's no culpability. Like there's no reason to stop someone that won't shake your hand. Let them go by. These can be tense situations. I am not saying that Greg Gard is anywhere near as culpable as Juwan Howard. That's why I was saying different levels of culpability, but nobody's blameless. And the one thing I would ask of both coaches, and I would have asked if I were a reporter in the press conference, is, are you proud of your words and actions in that moment? And if the answer was anything other than no, that would be revelatory to me. And it may be a small thing to some, but when you go into the press conference and you are explaining, like, Juwan Howard should have been apologetic for his behavior. And I think so should Greg Gard have been. And when you're trying to explain what happened and you say, maybe the other coach didn't know the rule. My first reaction is, really? You think a guy that's been in the game as long as Juwan Howard didn't know the rule? And I'm not a big fan of this unwritten rule stuff. you know, that you don't press, you put your subs in or whatever. There's nothing in the rule book about that, and if it's not in the rule book, just deal with it. And look, at the end of games all the time, you see teams take shot clock violations so they don't shoot it at the end of a game. So the idea that they would have a turnover doesn't seem to me that big of a deal. But I don't care what happened in the game. The game was over, and there was no reason for anyone to behave that way. And whether Greg Gard was whatever you think his level of culpability, it didn't look like those two were exchanging pleasantries after, or one was saying, hey, I'm sorry. I hope you didn't misunderstand. They got nose to nose, and there's just no reason for it. And I don't excuse anyone. And again, there's different levels of culpability. Juwan Howard being at the highest rung of that ladder, but that doesn't mean everybody else that it's okay, because things were said there and things were done during and after that I don't think were right. And I don't have any hesitation saying this. But whatever the sanction is, if it's anything less than a player would get, I think that's wrong.
So what do you think should be the sanction, Jay? What do you think?
I don't know. That's a great question. It depends on what the university's values are. And look, all these administrators and universities talk a great game, but oftentimes their actions don't match with their rhetoric. To me, this doesn't rise to the level of termination for Juwan Howard. But if there's a suspension, I don't think it needs to be a long one. I don't think it would have to be a long one for a player. And, you know, you deal with what happened. So those who say it could have been worse, somebody could have been hurt. Well, nobody was. So it could have been worse, but it wasn't. So let's deal with what it was. And, you know, maybe a reprimand for some, and for Juwan Howard, maybe a short suspension. But you give him a long suspension, and what you're really doing is hurting the players. And the players who actually competed and had opponents, like, the coaches were in a competition. They don't have opponents. There's nobody trying to stop the coach physically from calling a timeout or for drawing up a play. The players are the ones that were physically on the line there, and they behaved well until the coaches lost it. And that's where the problem is. The match that was lit for that was lit by the coaches, not by the players.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you make of the question about just eliminating the handshake after the game? Would you be for that, or having this sort of spark that conversation,
Jay? Not because of this, Rich, but I've never been a fan of the handshake line. I've always called it the Little League handshake line, because when you're standing in a line, how much does the handshake really mean? I mean, it turns into like a high five exercise, 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? With Michigan, yay. Like, I don't like it. What I like is, after a competition, when one counterpart seeks out another and they have a meaningful exchange and handshake after the game, like you see in an NFL game. I mean, look, I'm an old man, but when I played, they didn't have these handshake lines. And we shook hands afterwards, and it meant something. You actually got to say something to the other person. When you're spending 1 second shaking 30, you know, 1 second handshakes with 30 people, to me it doesn't have the same meaning. But whatever mechanism there is, behave yourself, and that's not hard. Luckily, we don't have these situations. That's why we're talking about this. But I can't remember which coach was saying. Oh, it's Greg Gard was saying this momentarily overshadows the fact we got a really good team. We played really well in the second half. It's not momentarily overshadowing it. Nobody cares about any of that stuff because of this. And the truth is, there was no reason for it. If they had a problem with each other, they could call after the game and have their little hissy fit on the phone. They didn't need to do that there. And look, I'm not saying that all of us have these interactions, but there was just no justifiable reason for it. And I would think that each person involved would say, hopefully would say, if I had that to do over again, I would handle it differently.
Yeah, neither of them said it in the first blush yesterday. Neither of them did.
And they had time, Rich. Mm-hmm. Like, they had time to meet with their staff. They had time to get on the phone with their ADs. They went into a press conference and sat down in front of the press, mm-hmm, and had a cool-off period, and they didn't do it. And to me, that sent, you know, that made it worse. And that made me feel worse about it, that that, you know, we're kind of dealing with a situation where folks just didn't overall, they didn't get it. Now, is it a capital crime? No. And will we in the media glorify? We're going to use this. So the next time they play, this is going to be the lead into it. And so how much do we dislike it if we're going to show it? Like when somebody runs out on the field during a game,
right,
it's been network policy. We don't show it because we don't want to encourage it. We're going to show this, and we're going to make a big deal out of this because it hypes it. And some people, maybe it's a fair point, but they say, no, I like this. I like the grit. I like this. I don't think this is what competitors do. Competitors bring the fight during the competition, and they're sportsmanlike when the competition is over because they understand that we're going against another great competitor, and we can lose. That's possible. So I don't. There are a whole bunch of levels where I don't like this, and to me, this isn't like two older men getting into a fracas when they have security to pull them away from each other. If you want to argue after the game, the speech and debate team has openings. And if you want to fight, the Golden Gloves is taking applications. If you want to play a basketball game, they just played one, and the deal after the game is shake hands and move on, and they didn't do it.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let us move on for the moment now. And it's kind of a shame too, because now that the NFL season is over and the NBA All-Star Game break is hitting, like this is usually the time when everybody kind of surfs back in or really gets into college basketball, and then this is the first thing we're talking about. So let's hit who you think has the best chance to cut down the nets over the next month and a half. Jay Billis.
You know, Rich, I think it's a different year than last year where we had two teams that stood out above the rest with Gonzaga and Baylor that were head and shoulders better than everybody. I think this year we've got about eight teams that are title favorites, I would say, prohibitive favorites. So I think the champion will probably come out of that eight. But all of them can lose in the Sweet 16, too, because they're not as powerful as they were last year. But they're very good. I think Gonzaga is the best offensive team. I think Auburn is the best defensive team. Both of them are outstanding. You know, you got Arizona and UCLA out of the West that are excellent. Purdue is up there. I think Duke is up there. So we've got a number of teams that are really capable, but all of them have I don't want to say flaws or a hole, but all of them aren't powerful enough to say that they can have a bad outing in the Sweet 16 and survive it. You're going to have to come to play in every game this year, and it's just a different year. And in one way, it's beautiful. Like last year, I think if Baylor or Gonzaga had been beaten before the Final Four, I would have been shocked by that. And I won't be shocked if any team gets beat in the Sweet 16 this year, because it's that kind of year. And it may make it more delicious for a fan. I don't know the answer to that because I can't remember us having ever a bad NCAA tournament, but this is more kind of a normal year. But Gonzaga is not getting the credit they deserve for being one of the truly great, you know, great teams this year. They're the best offensive team and it's not even close. They're magnificent to watch.
And then of course it's the final weeks of the stellar all-time great career of Coach K. And I want to play this soundbite for our audience. I'm assuming you heard it. I don't know. You travel around. So did you hear JJ Redick, along with Jason Tatum on his podcast? Did you hear this exchange?
I did not yet. I haven't
okay.
listened to it yet.
All right. So
I'm a devoted listener though.
Of the Old Man and the Three podcast, JJ Redick having fellow Dukie Jason Tatum on talking about Coach K and a timeout that he witnessed when he returned just recently, with his kids, and they were sitting behind the bench and heard this exchange with Coach K right in front of him.
There was a timeout second half, and I could see it. I mean, the body language was bad on the court. And, you know, everybody runs back. You sit down and you wait for Coach. So Coach meets with Shire and Chris Carwell and Nolan, and he comes back to the huddle, and all he says is he looks at each kid and he says, "I hate your faces." "Your faces suck," and then he walks away. That was the timeout, and I thought to myself, man, how many times did that happen? Some similar version of that.
Jay, does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, it does. And that's sort of kind of the difficulty of of this last season, if you want to call it a difficulty, is on one hand, we are rightfully so throwing rose petals at Coach K's feet. But when people tell stories about, you know, years ago or things that happen when times get tough, I think sometimes, you know, some people can take the wrong thing from it. And, you know, Coach K is an amazing competitor, and we have had really difficult times. You know, he is not perfect, but he's as close to perfect as a coach that I've ever seen. And so, like, some of these things being discussed, and especially the old-time stuff coming out, you know, some people may clutch their pearls and express, you know, kind of disgust by it, but the players get together and we laugh about those things now, about stuff that he said or did. And I for one love it, but you just don't want people to take it the wrong way.
No, I love it too. I had an old school teacher at the Medill School of Journalism who would treat all of us as students as if we were employees by a news director in the television world. And those are some very gruff people, and it rubbed some of the students the wrong way. I took it as to mean, this is being treated like an adult, and this is the way the world is, the real world is. I heard that Tatum was laughing, saying that, you know, body language also is very important to Coach K, and he's heard that before. I laughed. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you know, when a grown man says this to a kid, but this is a coach-player relationship here, and their faces needed to be told that, and I found that very funny. Jay.
And the stuff that happened years ago when he was younger,
right?
I'm sure that he, maybe there were a few things he'd like to have back. We all would when you first start out. But when my first year playing for him was his third year, and as a coach, and my first NCAA tournament game was his first. And so, you know, there were things that happened in practice that if you told the stories now, people go, well, that doesn't sound kosher. That shouldn't be said. But it was in a heated situation, and it got the point across. But there was never a time, Rich, that I've always taken this from Tony Dungy. You can be demanding without being demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach K may have used some salty language over the years, and I do too. I'm a world-class cursor.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember a time where he was ever demeaning, where he went to your character. He would go to your play, and it would be about being the best version of yourself. But he did say one time, and he was building us up. He came into the locker room and called us out by name and said, I would rather have you than any other. He said to me, I would rather have you than any other big guy in the country. And after the meeting was over, Mark Allery said, yep, he'd rather have you than David Robinson. That sounded really credible. Don't want Wayman Tisdale. I want Billis. His credibility took a huge hit.
I love that. I guess before I let you go, how do you think he is approaching the final weeks? And then you just said you shared the first NCAA tournament game of his career together. These will be his last. How do you think he's approaching it, Jay?
Yeah, he just had his second-to-last home game against Florida State. And the last home game that he'll ever coach on the floor at Cameron Indoor Stadium will be against North Carolina on Saturday, March 5th.
Mm.
And I'll be there. There'll be probably 100 former players and who knows how many dignitaries and the like. But I think it'll be intensely emotional, and he'll do his best to manage it and try to keep it away from the players. But it'll be inescapable. Some of the tickets are going for $20,000. And I started thinking, you know, I got a seat in the booth, but for $20,000, I might want to give that thing up and watch it on TV. But it'll be an unbelievable happening. But he won't be able to escape the emotion. But I know, from knowing him so long, I know he'll manage it the best that it can be managed. But it'll be a lot of fun to watch and to reminisce and all that. I'm going to be up there early, and I'm probably going to stay late because there'll be so many former players there. So I'll probably tip a few back with them as soon as the game's over.
Well, look for my call, Jay. I want to be a fly on that wall. That's for damn sure, man. And I appreciate the 2 cents today, as always. Thanks
always
for the call.
Always a pleasure, brother. And again, mm-hmm. do not ever violate the unwritten rule of broadcasting by by promoting another interview while mine's coming up, because we will throw down in 2 seconds and it will not be an open hand.
Well, you know what, Jay? Let's just agree to just blow by each other right now and have an offline conversation just for the kids' sake. You know what I'm saying? Not around the kids.
Deal.
Take care of yourself, Jay. You're the best. Take care. That's Jay Billis. At Jay Billis, follow him. You should. If you don't, I do already.
Yeah, so the get-in price for that game, March 5th, UNC at Duke, $3,500 just to get in the building for the worst seat. We got two on the floor, section 19. So Duke only has 19 sections, very small arena, 8,000 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
18,000 for row F. Mike, you want to throw down? Want to go this weekend?
I already sold mine.
I'll be at the combine. Kidding. I'll be on the air at the combine.
That's a lot of money for a college basketball game.
Calling the long jump of some sixth rounder because everybody else has blown it off. That'll be great. Tell me how the game is.
Rich.
Wow.
You've said almost to look forward to.
That's a good point.
Yeah, okay.
Shrimp cocktail.
I'm not a shrimp cocktail guy.
Oh,
I am not a shrimp at all.
Ever?
Oh, Rich.
Ever.
Oh, St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail. No. It's epic.
That's all I hear about. Every time I go there.
It is amazing.
Are you a shrimp cocktail?
I am not a shrimp cocktail guy. Never have, and I don't think I ever will.
Oof.
Okay, lots to digest just there. When we come back, the NBA slam dunk and so much more. That went down this weekend. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take your calls in a moment. But Callaway wants to make sure you understand what's going on with the Chrome Soft Golf Ball. And it's my job to make sure you understand what's going on with the Chrome Soft Golf Ball, because it didn't just, when they engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball, it didn't just make the best players better. It made everyone better. It's making every level of player better. I'm on the ground floor level, meaning not so great. I use the regular Chrome Soft because it's designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, and incredible forgiveness. And when I notice the difference, trust me, it's forgiving. But for better players looking for more workability, Chrome Soft X gives you that excellent spin consistency, tour level short game control. Chrome Soft XLS gives you a lower spinning on golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still high spin around the greens. Every Chrome Soft's now enhanced with precision technology, which uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. This ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. So when you add it all up, it's so simple. Chrome Soft is not only better for the best, it's better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Back with more in a moment on the show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back, and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store, and use my code EISEN. back here telling a poker story on Terrestrial. There's the boat.
I do like the boat now.
Thank you for. You know, don't rock the boat. Thank you very much.
You know, certain hands have names. You know, like Dead Man's Hand.
Yeah, I know. King Eight in the history of this poker game, it's gone on for two. It's gone on for longer than that. I've joined it 2 decades ago. From now on, King Eight in this hand.
Did you have this game? Three
is gonna
kings
be,
or three eights?
I think it was kings over eights. So yeah, three kings.
Great.
Over eight.
That's now the boat.
It's now the boat. And I didn't say it. And they're like, no, Rich, you said it. And like everybody heard it.
It's really funny.
And there are many times in my SportsCenter career where, you know, it's 3 a.m. Stuart and I thought we did a perfect show and we're going to go home.
Yeah.
Like we're now sliding down the back of the dinosaur, yabba dabba doo, we're all out of here. And the producer gets in our ears and like, no, you got to fix this because you said the wrong number or the wrong name or the wrong. And I'm like, I did not. And then they'd play it back for me and I heard it. That I screwed it up. But I would have sworn that I did not say it.
Pretty funny.
Now, I was definitely tequila infused at this point in time.
Oh, you were.
So, I have a reputation that I do not showboat when I play poker.
But you're not a big talker.
I'm not a talker. Yeah. I'm not opposite of
Brockman, probably.
You know,
depends how much I've had to drink if I'm talking.
But I'm not. I don't do that. But they all swear that I put down the winning hand and called it the boat, not a boat.
The boat.
I said I have a boat. And they all like shot up in their chairs like they couldn't believe I'd say something like that.
There's a dock open like two down from me, Rich. You can park it.
So it is a boat.
That's funny.
I have the boat.
Das Boot. I had Das Boot.
Das Boot.
King 8 forevermore. Das Boot. 844-204-RICH number.
I think
you
should embrace this. Let's get t-shirts.
I can't embrace it. I won't embrace it.
The boat.
Let's take some phone calls. Mike in Las Vegas, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rich. Happy President's Day. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
You know, the whole thing about that game yesterday is that came out of nowhere. I watched that whole game. You know, they're in the handshake line. I'm switching over to watch the Daytona 500. I come back 2 hours later, and then this whole mess popped off. To me, you know, it was stupid, and it was corny, and it was dangerous. And I know a lot of people are saying there's an overreaction to suspend. It's definitely an overreaction to fire, but then you have to ask yourself, how many punches did you negotiate in your contract? I didn't negotiate any punches, you know, on my job. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, but... You know, as an alum, that was really embarrassing, and it didn't have to happen.
I agree, and I didn't see it live either. Again, I was in Hawaii time. The game was in the morning, but one of my poker buddies, Murph, who you know has been banned from the show because he called in a curse one time. Murph's a Wisconsin guy. He goes, did you see what Juwan did on the handshake line? I'm like, no. And then, of course, I reached for my phone, and I saw it, and the first thing, I'm like, wow, did he throw a punch? And it just is so jarring to see. And, you know, again, I don't think he should be fired either. Jay Billis thinks he should be suspended. What would a kid get for throwing a punch? And that's what he said. Whatever a kid gets is what the coach should get, even though one would think that the coach is held to a different standard than a player. But Jay's my conscience and rock and fellow bald brotherhood man. So he is, that's what he said. But this is going to stick with Juwan forever. I mean, it will stick with him forever. And I hope he's got some national championships in his back pocket, too. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
And that was that was Jay's point, too. Sorry, TJ, that the game was over. Like, the competition part of it is done.
When you say this will stay with him forever, do you really think that, like, in 2025, God willing, we're still sitting here somewhere else, and we're still going to think about the time that he open-hand slapped somebody?
When his career is over and they write the article about what happened, it will be in there.
I guess it depends how long the suspension is.
Suspension, like you said, say he gets a couple national titles. I don't know. I got a hard time believing 10 years from now
it will be written in the fact of this happened and Michigan stuck with him and look what ended up happening anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He threw a hand, man. I still can't believe he did that. And it's only a matter of time till some form of contrition comes out, I would imagine.
Yeah, you would hope.
Another thing that happened this weekend that I was sitting there, I sent out one tweet over the weekend, that's it.
Just one?
Just one tweet. That's it.
So what, I think where did those selfies come from that we kept showing the whole time?
Well, I sent them to you.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they were pulling those from Twitter. Or
yeah, I sent them to my wife.
Oh, my wife.
I sent it to Susie.
Okay.
What selfies did you put on the air?
Just a few.
You chilling?
What?
You know, on the greens?
Tan and bearded. Yeah, a lot of green, a lot of blue sky.
Yeah, I mean, that's Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's it's just then.
It rained here all weekend. We were stuck
Sorry.
Here.
Sorry. Well, I was just sending, you know.
I think it snowed.
Oh, whatever.
It did actually snow. Yeah, the higher elevations.
But I sent out one tweet because the slam dunk contest was so brutal. And all I could think of is it's the same thing as the Pro Bowl problem the NFL has.
Yeah.
There's no fixing it.
Not really. The slam dunk contest is different from the actual game, though.
I'm saying the same problem that the slam dunk contest is the same thing that we have about the Pro Bowl, which is like, why are we even having it anymore? That's what I'm thinking.
Brockman and I think we've come up with a solution.
For the slam dunk contest?
I think so.
There isn't one. Unless you move the rim up a foot.
Well.
Or you just got to pay the guys.
We're talking about incentivizing. Yeah. Like, give what? These guys.
Like the stars of the game? I don't think the problem is really the fact that, you know, it doesn't help that you're seeing, you know, bench players for the most part.
Yeah.
That is the problem, Rich, because I'm a huge fan. I didn't know, like, I know these guys, but I don't know these guys. Like we were saying, if you got Ja Morant into the dunk contest, get Anthony Simmons, who won last year, you get people that casual fans know, throw some incentives on them to participate, and you put the prize money up there, maybe raise the rim half a foot.
But Ja Morant doesn't want to look like Jalen Green, right. Which is take five shots at it, six shots
would,
at it, because if I don't know. I mean, then don't have your friend try and hit off the side of the backboard in a certain way.
Yeah, the other
you know?
Thing
I mean,
too is like...
There's no,
like,
that's part of the problem. We've seen it all.
Right.
Exactly. We've seen it all. We've seen short guys like Spud Webb do it, and we've seen Michael Jordan go from the free throw line, and we've seen like what we've seen guys jump over cars.
Well, we think we've
now,
seen
now,
all, like,
now when you put Wiggins out there, it's like, okay, I've seen teammates jump over teammates. I've seen it all. So you either raise the rim and say you now have to dunk on an 12 foot rim.
Said half a foot, like 10 and a half feet.
But then you're bringing in like guys can really hurt themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they're throwing themselves at a rim.
That's what Ja said during the game. He was interviewed during the game on the bench, and
right.
Reggie Miller was pleading with him, and he said that 10 foot feet is not high enough. So he's someone who obviously, by that statement, wants a little bit higher of a rim. And you see guys who can jump over the square, so you could definitely do 10 and a half feet.
Now let's see it then.
You know, give him some prize money.
Dunk on an 11-foot rim?
That
12-foot rim?
11-foot's tough, though.
And the other thing, too,
10-5?
Like you said, Rich, guys don't want to look silly doing this.
So when
you
miss, fixing it.
Five, like, remember the Nate Robinson year where he kept trying to do that dunk? And it
but
was
then
just
he
a joke?
Was so embarrassed by it that he came back the next 2 years to dunk. So, how embarrassed
it's done.
Nate
it's,
Robinson isn't a superstar.
The minute you could basically
he's a bigger
say,
star than these guys that were in it this weekend.
You could basically say Vince Carter ended this competition.
Well, yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe.
You could,
you
know
but
what you mean? Say like, we've seen everything.
Or Jordan, we've seen it all.
Aaron Gordon comes out and dunks over a mascot with a hoverboard. Yeah. We never saw that.
Yeah, that
and the guy
the
doesn't win.
Year.
Aaron Gordon got robbed every time he was in
Zach
the dunk
Levine
contest,
was also amazing that year. Like, that should have been the
you guys are You guys are diehards. Don't forget there's people who are just going to be surfing into this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my point. That's why you need star names in it.
Or here's what you do. You just take it, and it's no longer the last thing of the night. Make the three-point shooting contest the last of the night, because that actually is terrific.
And that's the other thing. I
that
think they
is
should move
amazing.
That back 26 feet instead of 20.
But that's amazing. This is an amazing feat of actual shooting, and Karl Anthony Towns winning it this year.
Yeah, that was pretty dope.
So maybe what you could do is just take the slam dunk contest, what it used to be, the number one event, the biggest event, the greatest event, the show-stopping event, just downgrade it. To say we admit that it's just not that great anymore. And the three-point shooting contest, anybody could do of any shooting note, right? And let's go. And have maybe like a big man. I thought this was great. Like Karl Anthony Towns winning this three-point shooting contest is like a pitcher winning a home run derby.
Yeah, totally ruined it.
You know what I mean? No, it ruined it, you think?
I think. Wow. I think.
Jeez.
I think Cat winning this proved that we need to scrap the abomination of the dunk contest and Cat winning the three-point. We need to scrap Saturday night altogether. We need to come up with some new events and some new fresh stuff.
Why do you have a problem with Carl Anthony Towns?
I have a problem with a center winning the three-point shootout.
Well, that's the game. That's why? That's the game.
He won it fair and square. There's no way it could be rigged or fixed. He went out there and he won.
It's totally fine that he won. Great accomplishment, whatever. But that's just like the event in itself. It's over. Okay, it's done now. It's reached its peak. A center won the three-point shootout. Just think about that for a second. A center.
Well, that's the game today.
Everybody shoots threes today.
Steph Curry changed that.
Well, then we need to change what we do with the three-point. We need to change the event now. Because it's over. Like, it's when the big man, like when Porzingis won the skills competition. What are we doing?
Well, that just means, Chris, that everything's changed. Big men are more skilled than they've ever been before.
And then now we have to change the event because they're not fun anymore.
I would disagree.
Did you watch it?
Didn't watch a single second.
Okay. So you're arguing for something that you didn't watch.
No, I'm arguing the result. Though,
right? Okay. No, it was actually exhilarating to watch it. I loved every second of it.
I thought the three-point shootout was great.
That's better. It's better than the slam dunk.
But it's been that way for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. So reverse it.
Or just get rid of all of it and start over and do something different and fun. Like, I just think the whole night in general is boring.
Well, you didn't watch it.
Why didn't I watch it?
I don't know.
Because it's all boring.
You missed a great three-point shooting contest. Right. And then again, I'm contrary to what you're saying, I just loved Carl Anthony Towns winning it. And then I heard this. This is pretty neat of him to say.
I think the league knew I could shoot the ball the way I could from three. I just think that for all the kids who, you know, the tall kids and for all the big men out there who are told that they won't succeed doing nothing but having their back to the basket and shooting hook shots, I want to be the example that that's not true. And you could accomplish anything you want and be the player that you want to be at any time. My father and I, when I grew up, I remember everyone told me to do the same way. Have your back to the basket. Why is Carl shooting threes? There's no reason for him shooting threes. We're experts. We know better than you. And me and my dad said, screw him. We're going to do it our way. We're going to make the league our way. We're going to do it our way. We're going to be great in a way that the world has never seen before.
I just love it. I don't have a problem with him winning it. And I just think that the order of things, it's been obvious for a long time. I'd rather see the three-point contest, you know.
I just think, like, the Pro Bowl, the whole night needs to just be retooled and reimagined.
Well, as I said in my one lone tweet from the drunken poker table, that just take the NFL players and have them do the slam dunk and the NBA's best play the Pro Bowl. That'll never happen.
It would never happen just for the... But, like, what if Myles Garrett tore his ACL?
I know, exactly. I was sitting there thinking all the Cleveland fans were just going nuts, and rightfully so, watching Myles Garrett dunk all over the place during But my God.
Big liability.
I wonder what... was Stefanski in the front row seat just like saying, please don't. Just lay it in there, big fella. Just lay it up. But there's no fixing the Pro Bowl either, I think. You know, there is no fixing. It is what it is, and that's the same thing with the dunk contest now. Just downgrade it. Put it up. Why would that be? It's not that big of a deal. It's not. You're not downgrading Jordan. The memories aren't being downgraded. It just used to be that way.
Maybe just call it switching it. When you say downgraded.
Well, it is a downgrade. If it's not the last event, it would be a downgrade. It was the number one thing everyone looked forward to. I always look forward to the dunk contest.
Yeah.
And Obi Toppin winning. And all I could remember to myself, was I was so excited when I was a kid when Kenny Skywalker won the contest. Yeah. Honestly,
that wasn't that great of a contest that year either. 89.
That's what I'm saying. But because that was when it was in its first blush and Jordan's taken off from the free throw line. I believe I can fly. And the fact that Kenny Skywalker won for the Knicks won the dunk contest. It was so exciting to me and for me.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
I just don't know if it's because I'm an older man now, and I just don't think it's the same thing anymore. So. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere. So much more to come, including an Olympic story you may not know.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about... how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Sideline Mike in Atlanta. How you been, Sideline Mike? What's going on, sir?
Hey, I've been doing well, guys. I was telling Adam, I'm glad to see that the Rooney family stood up in the middle of the hall of indiscretion to be able to hire Coach Flores because, and like I said, Rich, boy, I'd give a pretty penny to watch him walk into that room and see Stephen Ross. Hey, buddy. He might not be in his room much longer based on goods we got on you. But getting into what happened yesterday, the Rich, I wish both of them had acted like grown men yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What you got to understand, brother, a lot of people were watching that yesterday. And Greg Gard can't step to Juwan Howard in 2022 like that. No, sir. Too much going on in this country. Too much going down for that to happen. And I'm going to tell you, if that was me and it was Fran W. from Iowa, I'd have decked his ass. I'm going to tell you, if Fran W. stepped to me like that, oh, it's on, baby. And the kids just going to have to get over. Because I don't like that guy. Okay? And then, some, you know, and Greg Gard ain't the best. We got
I know that, okay? Sideline Mike, but I, you know, I don't.
Thought about him.
Sideline Mike.
What I'm saying, man, is everybody's got to understand the climate we're in. And let cooler heads prevail.
No, I agree with you, Sideline Mike, that cooler heads should prevail. But, I mean, it's not like Greg Gard was looking to fight. I mean, like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he did put his hands on the coach because he didn't want Juwan to go past him. He wanted to actually have say to him. And
unfortunately, Rich, not in 2022, baby. 5 years ago, you might have been able to impede the progress. Not now. No, sir. Too many people watching. But I tell you, if that had gone down any other way, it's a place where Juwan kicks it, it wouldn't have been a good look. And that's just what it is, Rich. That's just what it is.
Sideline Mike, thanks for the call. Call back anytime. As for the Brian Flores hiring, I saw that and I thought to myself, way to go, Pittsburgh Steelers, because you got yourself a hell of a football coach who appears to be lockstep in the same mind and mindset as Mike Tomlin. You know, any single one of those sound bites that we play here of Mike Tomlin, you know, Flores, he could sit there and say the same damn thing. And, you know, the whole idea that Flores was looking for a job in the NFL, the famed line that we play for Tomlin here, never say never, but never, could have been applied. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, he is hired. And the team that hired him is the team that we all know that was run for so many years by the Rooney, for whom the rule was named, and for his name to be attached to a rule that clearly needs updating and clearly needs more teeth put in it. And is now used as a term of derision because so many teams are, you know, using it to check a box as opposed to actually find out what's underneath the hood and hire a person of color. For them to tell Brian Flores, you will not be blackballed in this league for what you have done, I think says a lot. And for Tomlin to extend a hand says a lot. And what it says to a lot of free agents around the league, I think, will be very attractive and make the Steelers a very attractive destination. It also as I pointed out earlier, makes for an interesting membership meeting. That's what the owners call themselves, a membership, annual membership meeting. We call it the owners meeting. Usually happens in late March every year. And it will be very fascinating because by then we might know a little bit more about what Stephen Ross did or did not do with Flores. And again, I understand that we're talking about hiring practices and that's what his lawsuit was all about. But he threw in that one gem of a an accusation that after being, I still can't believe it, still after being hired, given his first opportunity as an HC in the NFL, an owner would say, we need more losses, and you're the one who's going to provide them, and for each one, I'm going to give you a six-figure amount. To say that to a grown-ass man, professional football coach of Brian Flores' caliber, is totally beyond the pale and shocking to the point where it strains your sense of belief. And as we know, Stephen Ross has come out swinging, saying that is not the case and this is false and defaming, and used it like all the legalese to say that this is going to be actionable once disproved. And when it's an owner's only session and it's just the 32 folks who own teams in the NFL, and sorry, Mike, that doesn't include you for the Green Bay Packers. You will not be allowed in that room.
I wish I would. I've been in that room.
That when Stephen Ross sees Art Rooney, that's going to be a conversation. I would love to be the fly on the wall for that one. And kudos to the Steelers for doing it because it makes them better. Kevin Colbert, the outgoing general manager, had a press conference today. He was asked about Brian Flores' hiring and what it says. Quote, it says we hired a good defensive coach.
Fact.
Overqualified for
the also said, but yeah. And I understand people might sit here and say, you know, that you're not getting blackballed in this league. You're coming here and you're getting hired. That still doesn't rise. He's not at the level that Tomlin is by title. He's not the head coach. He's being called a special defensive assistant.
Assistant, yeah.
Or senior, pardon me, a senior defensive assistant. I don't know. That sounds like a...
And the linebackers, right? He's going to work with
the linebackers. Yes, and the linebackers coach. And so let him do this job, and then hopefully someone's going to hire him as the HC because he's shown he could do that.
You know, Rich, on Friday I did a grab bag where I talked about just way early thoughts about next season. And I put in there about Brian and the lawsuit and what I thought could happen, but I was afraid that would be the end of his coaching career, sadly. So I'm especially happy to see that that's not the case.
And he's going to be great. And Devin Bush is going to love him. And Colbert said he was one of the things he really wanted to speak to Flores about was personnel. Because he started on the personnel side. He was excited to talk to Brian Flores to pick his brain there. The Steelers are a better organization now than they were the other day.
Definitely.
And the league's better for it as well. Dick Vermeil, Pro Football Hall of Famer Dick Vermeil, when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show.